Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I am your host, Connie Whitman. As always, thanks for joining us this week. So change, did I hear you take a deep breath just then, right? Change is hard. Even when we choose change in our life, it could be a little bit daunting at times. So to help you navigate change in your life, please take my free communication style assessment. You get a report showing your natural superpowers on how people perceive you and how you show up. And you get a report showing your lowest style or the style that's the least like you, blind spot. And you want to shine a little bit of light on that so that we can navigate when we're chatting with clients or prospects that we're landing for them from a communication standpoint. So go to whitmanassoc.com/CSA. And that is my gift to you. And that link will be in the show notes. Now, my motivational quote today is by Satsuki. And Satsuki says, that's my little Italian accent coming through. Although difficult, change is always possible. What holds us back from making the changes we desire are our own limiting thoughts and actions. Now, I chose this quote because it really stated exactly, I think, the purpose of my show conversation today with my guest. Change can be difficult. Yep, absolutely. And we are the only ones that can stand in the way of true happiness in our lives. However, you define happiness for you, right? My definition, your definition could be very different. As I reflect on my own life, major life events, I realize the profound impact they've had on me and how I see the world and how I respond to it, my perspective. And one of those crossroads for me personally was when I turned 39. I had two babies at home, and I chose to leave that safe full-time paycheck job and start my own business. And I'd say, yeah, that was a major crossroad to be sure. Now, here's the funny thing, though. As I opened my business, my inbox began to fill with emails about law of attraction, the universal laws, manifestation, spiritual awakening, all of these things that I had never heard about. Now, I still have no idea why they ended up in my inbox, but I think it was because the universe was telling me I was ready for the many lessons that were awaiting me and that I would learn and embrace over and now the past two decades, you know, because now I'm 60. Well, today, my guest, Gina Vincent, Gina is an escape artist of sorts. She helps amazing women and men create their master plan to break free of the one size fits all life. Gina talks about learning to listen to your intuition, learning to value your truths, desires, and gifts. Now, Gina has been on a lifelong search of her own for the ideal combination of sun, sand, and sea. And her career took her to South to North Carolina, and where she met her, married her husband, gave birth to their son, and adopted their daughter. Now, today she calls California her home. I wish she was still on the East Coast with me, but she moved away. And now she is functioning out of California. And when you don't find her at her desk, she's paddleboarding and enjoying the sun. Gina, thanks for being on. And I can't wait for our conversation today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here, Connie.
Yay. All right. So first question, I've heard you say that 90% of self-help is counterproductive and takes you down the wrong path. It doesn't work and it can't work. So leaving your chances to that 10%, right, the crapshoot there, can you tell us why?
Well, I'm a visual person. So I envision an iceberg and the tip of the iceberg looks so big, but really it's only about 10% of what's really there for us. And oftentimes, like you getting in your inbox, those law of attraction and so forth. Yes, I believe it was the universe knowing that it was time for you to,
absolutely.
You had more time and you had the ability to see and hear what those messages were. But the problem is if we only open the email and read it and think, oh, that's great. Or, you know, we buy a book and put it on our bookcase. That I see as being collecting. So we're out there collecting and it becomes like a scavenger hunt where at the end of the day or the end of the week, you have a bunch of different things that are other people's opinions or other people's advice, and they probably don't all work together and they may not work for you. I believe that when we talk about like you changing and enlightenment of change, that happens when we start applying those things that came into our inbox or your podcast or a book. We start thinking, how does that apply to me? And we look at our truths, our gifts, and our desires. Does what, you know, Miss Susie said in her book apply to me? And if it doesn't, you know, maybe keep turning the page. Maybe there's a few nuggets in there for you. And below, so if that was the top of the iceberg where we're collecting these things, now we're connecting, which is what you talk about, or I believe I've heard you speak of, that's below the waterline. And then if you go really deep into the bottom of that iceberg, where there's about another 8 to maybe 12%, that's where we take what we've learned. And instead of connecting it, we really transform and allow it to make sense in our lives and feel that change of enlightenment and start seeing things in a different way and being or living, and I say experiencing life very, very differently. For me, I call it deep harmony. Years ago, gosh, my son is going to be 20. So it was about 20 years ago, I went to a yoga class, and what I wanted out of that class was inner peace. What does inner peace mean? I don't know, but that's what I wanted, you know? And so for me, it's that deep harmony of body, mind, and spirit where you've transformed. And that's what I like to call exquisitely aligned. I didn't know what I was looking for, but now I use the word exquisitely aligned. And I believe that's when we're on our life's purpose. We're really, we feel empowered. We feel purposeful. We leave the jobs that maybe had a high income to be with our two children and to do something that's more, what I say, it's richer, more meaningful, and fulfilling. You know, it
personal.
And the money oftentimes, in my opinion, replaces what you had. And then some. And meanwhile, you're glowing and you're maybe working fewer hours and you're there with your family or your loved ones, whoever that might be, friends.
Yeah. So I want to unpack that a little bit, because you said, yeah. I'm giggling like crazy over here because it's like, oh my God, get out of my head. So I just want everybody to pause for a second, right? We're talking about that mind, body, spirit, that deep soul kind of purpose, right? That's Gina's zone of genius. Now, here's the thing. The first slide in my workshop is an iceberg. And I talk about when we're talking now sales, right? So this iceberg, this 10%, 90%, it's relevant in many aspects of life. So for sales, what does that mean? Well, when we're talking to other people and trying to connect to see if they're a fit for whatever our offer is, our product services, 10% of our conversation is very conscious, right? You and I were speaking English to each other. We're making eye contact. We're on Zoom. We could see each other. We're recording in video, right? We have some notes. We're organized. All of that is very conscious. 90% of our conversation or connection to others is at the subconscious level. So not only are we dealing with our own depth of subconscious, like you're talking about, it's the same for others. So how do we connect underwater, under the iceberg, where really that's the magic that's happening from a communication standpoint as well? So I'm just loving, as soon as you said that, I'm like, well, she wasn't at my workshop. She didn't see my iceberg. So I'm
giggling. But I told you, you're my new best friend.
I'm telling you, it's good we don't live next to each other. We wouldn't get any work done. We'd be out playing all the time. But I just wanted to comment on that. And the second thing is, you use the word inner peace. What does that mean? And some of this we're not really sure, but our intuition does know what we need. And for that yoga session that you went and said, I just want inner peace. At that moment for you, whatever it meant, that might mean something different today, correct, 20 years later. And that's another thing. As you listen to the show today, as Gina goes through things, please start to apply them to your personal life, not on what you think you should be doing. Get the shoulds out of it, but take Gina's advice and how can you apply it in your life? And the last thing I want to comment on is the idea of buying a book or learning information. And I was giggling again, Gina, at the end of every show, and I have two shows, at the end of both shows, I say, I hope you found the information valuable. What you do with it is more important than hearing the information. Information alone is not going to change your rock your world. As soon as you start applying one little piece, one little nugget, one thing at a time, one little baby step, whew, magic starts happening and we start getting results and changing our life. That's where the change comes, the application of the information. So I did want to comment on that. So thank you for that.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, I mean, to have just a bunch of information that we can't apply or don't or choose not to apply, I don't know. For me, that's already overwhelming thinking about it. It's like having to dust more items. You know what I mean? In the house, like,
that's right.
You know, the word tchotchke comes to mind, but like, right. You know, it would be, I don't know. I feel like sometimes there's only so much room in my brain.
That's
and
right.
I don't want to cloud it with just, yes.
It's about intention, right? It's about focus, priorities, intentions, all of those things. Next question, Gina, what do you think? And as you've coached people and, you know, you've lived, right? Mm-hmm. What do you believe blocks us from joy and satisfaction of our life that we're all truly meant to have, right? The universe really does conspire to give us what we need and what we deserve, but why do we block it?
Well, I think that it happens. It starts at a young age and it's something very natural. We live in a society that I like to say societal norms, right? So a young child, maybe even a toddler, is trying to get attention from mom and dad, maybe big brother. You know, big brother says, get me a cookie, and you run and go get two cookies, you know? And then we start to go to school, and we're in kindergarten, first grade. We want the approval of our teacher. We might be a teenager, like my daughter. She wants the approval of her peers. Then we become older and we start our career and we want to be acknowledged by our higher ups, our boss, and even up the ladder, if you're in a big corporation. And it could happen also when we get married. You want to be acknowledged by your husband, by your in-laws, by your parents. And so we have attention, approval, and acknowledgement. But the truth is, those things can block us from our true joy because those are outside authorities, right? Our parents and our brother or siblings, our school teacher, our peers, and then people we work for, our spouse. And really, I believe that attention, approval, and acknowledgement has to come from within. And it's not, that's how I found my inner peace. You know, maybe I should ask you how you found yours or where you found yours. But when we are able to go within and do that deep dive, like you're talking about, we both agreed with the iceberg, that's when we have the attention on our truths and our desires. And we approve of ourselves and our life experiences, the ones that were comfortable and uncomfortable. I don't want to call them good and bad. But some of them were comfortable for me. Many were extremely uncomfortable, calling off a wedding, you know, 3 months before the wedding. It was nerve-wracking. Am I ever going to get married? You know? Yeah. And then acknowledging ourselves as being unique and the talents that we have so that we can use our gifts, like our genius, right, in the ways that make the world a better place and fulfill us. And so I think if we are constantly looking on the outside to other people to give us those three A's and not from within, that's when I felt exhausted and unfulfilled and at unease, you know, this something was missing.
Yeah.
That would be the best way to say that.
Yeah. So I'll share with you, it's so funny. I haven't thought of this in years. And so, you know me, I come from a very big Italian family. Love was never a question, right? Because we lived with my grandparents, my aunts lived upstairs. We ruled the roost, us kids, right? We ruled the roost. So when I tell you love was deep and intense, my husband and I were married 30 years. I have two amazing young men. So when I tell you I am surrounded by love, even my clients, I was sharing with you, my clients become my friends. I love them deeply. And I remember I was at a networking event and I had done, this is probably a decade ago. And I was doing a lot of inner work, my own inner work, a lot of it very, very uncomfortable, really being honest with yourself of who am I? What do I like about myself and what don't I like? And can I change it? Do I want to change it? Right. All those things takes effort as you peel back your onion. And I remember sitting in this networking event after doing a lot of work. And a woman said to me, her daughter was there. She was there. And the three of us were talking. Daughter was 40. I was 50. And this mom that was there was 60. And she was a cancer survivor, ovarian cancer survivor. So we were just talking and, you know, I was so proud of her. I gave her a hug and I'm just, oh my God, that's wonderful to hear. And you know, that's, you look wonderful and all those things. And I said to her, you know, it's so interesting. Your daughter, 40, mom, 50, you're 60. Each decade I look back and I learned something. And 50s, you know, I really I love myself. Yes. And as I said it, Gina, I had never said that before. And I almost burst into tears. I did not, because it was a networking event. I met this woman for the first time. She'd been like, who is this kooky nut that I'm talking to that's bursting into tears because she just said she loves herself, right? What the heck's going on? And I got in the car and I talked to a friend who knew all the inner work I was doing. Now I'm really in tears driving home telling her, I finally said I loved myself. So now, isn't this the funny thing? And she didn't judge. And she goes, I know you cracked me up that you felt that you weren't worthy of love when you are surrounded, like nobody's family's tighter than yours. Your husband is freaking off the charts amazing, right? Your kids are the most respectful kids and you don't feel you're worthy of love. Like, what is going on? And then when I finally said it, she said, and that's all the work at work within you. And so now, isn't that funny though? It took me to age 50 to feel I was worthy of love. Even though I was surrounded externally from love, I felt it everywhere. In my heart, I did not feel I was worthy. That's the kind of thing we're talking about today, Gina, right? If I'm understanding it, but no one could have done it for me. No one could have done the work for me. Mm-hmm. I had to put the time in. I had to be with myself, warts and all, to really understand that, of course, you're worthy of love, even though I was surrounded externally, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the depth of what we're talking about. And happiness, love, whatever that means to you, right? I know what it meant to me, but you have to start defining that for you. And Jean is a great resource. My next question, Jay. Mm-hmm. I see, I'm going to call you G. We're becoming fast friends. And now I can't even call her full name. She's G in my world.
That's what people call me. So I feel like I'm back at home.
I didn't know that. So there you go. But now I know that you have a formula that you recommend to help us live the life that we're really born to live. Can you share what that formula is? So, because again, I want information, but I want them to be able to apply it today after they listen to you speak.
So very simply, it's three keys. So it's easy to remember. And it's our soul level truths, or we'll just make it simple, our truths. And we want to make sure we trust by honoring them. Oftentimes you'll find people will, or in my opinion, okay, let me back that up. Yes. Yeah, so in my opinion, I have found over my 53 years of walking this earth, and especially working with women, and I'm going to stop for a second because it's still pinging in my head. I get messages. So earlier when you were talking about the worthiness, that has come up so many times. And you as a mom would never want your children to ever feel like they weren't worthy. But oftentimes I have found very many mothers themselves didn't find that they were worthy. And I always say, but if you're teaching and you're being the example for your child, how could you think that? You know, let's change that quickly. So, okay, I addressed that. I'm done. You know, so now I'll go back because I was going to say something before, but I was like, no, you asked me a question. But when we don't feel worthy, or when we feel society is telling us to play a role as a mom, or, you know, like my daughter said to me the other day, you think you're the best mom when you, and I said, I never was trying to get the best mom award. I never will. That's not my goal. That I know I'm not the best mom. I'm not making sandwiches and putting a sticky note, love you, have a great day, here's a thought for the day. No, that's not me. You know, I'm teaching you other life skills. You know, that's right.
Like make your own lunch.
Right. Exactly. Yes. You really do know me. You're living in the kitchen. I didn't even tell you, but yes, exactly. But when we have those outside forces where we think we need to be someone else, or, you know, people please, however it comes up, we might be just turning a blind eye to our truths and filling in what we think our husband or our kids or anybody, our friends want from us, our employees, our employer, the same thing with our heart desires. So these heartfelt desires, I feel like we're born with each of these, our truths, our heartfelt desires, and our innate gifts. They're unique to us. And when you reject, or if you're chasing your desires, so I see people go back and forth, and they might reject their desires. Oh, I'm a mom, I can't do that. And then they get divorced and they're like, I'm doing, and they're chasing these desires. Neither one works. Really, I see it as kind of a marriage where you unite, you form a union, and you partner with your heartfelt desires, and they become stronger. It's like this fuel back and forth, you know, they fuel you, you fuel them, and it keeps going, and it lights you on fire. The third one is our gifts. And I see many people, we were talking a bit ago about being too close to a situation, right? And I think our gifts are something we are oftentimes, I know I personally, and I found this multiple times, because that's the first thing I start with when I work with people is your gifts. People are like, oh, I'm friendly, I'm this. Well, that's a character trait. I don't really feel that's a gift, but okay, let's go deeper. And they're oftentimes like, well, that's not a gift. Yes, it is. Start asking your friends and if they could do what you can do, right? That's like, right. You having a podcast and being on camera, not everybody can do that. They wouldn't feel comfortable. I know the other three people in my family wouldn't. They would say, oh, no, thank you, no, thank you, no, thank you, and run away. And so these gifts, we need to appreciate them and not dismiss them or not, you know, push them to the back.
We don't even see them.
Exactly. And when we appreciate them, they grow in value. So you have, again, this energy where you might have been singing into a hairbrush, jumping on your bed, you know, when I was a little girl, and it's not me, but, and then you keep going and your parents ask you to stand in front of the dinner party and you sing. And the next thing you know, you're, I don't know, singing on stage. And the next thing you know, I'm paying for a ticket to sit at your concert. So it's when we share these gifts and we really appreciate and value them. Those three things, your gifts, truths, and desires, they really, for me, I find the world is a happier place when we all live our own unique, these three things, because you make me smile and bring out the best in me. And I hope I do the same with you. And then you have this inner peace and you're just lighting the way or shining, as an example for others. So those are the three. That's the long, sorry, I went.
No, and that was a great answer. And you and I, we have a colleague in Jim Neisinger. He and I recorded a show, and he is brilliant at pulling those gifts from us that we don't see. And I had worked with him last year and you worked with him this year. So shout out to Jim. He's freaking amazing. We both can't believe how he's helped us. But I remember talking to him and, you know, I was going to do a workshop, but what should I include? And I'm talking and he, you know, I said like, you know, three paragraphs and he puts it into two sentences and I go, yeah. And he goes, that's your gift. That's your genius. I go, it is. And I was like, Jim, don't you have that? He's like, no. Right. So it's this whole, we think, well, I'm good at that. Isn't everybody good at that?
Right.
We don't see, because it's our own inner gift. So you have to take time. Recently, someone said to me, Con, you have to slow down to speed up. And I thought, oh, that's so profound. It's true. If we don't slow down to go internally, we'll never see our gifts. And here's the other thing. Sometimes you do need to hire somebody like Gina, to say, you know, this is your zone of genius. These are your gifts. And we don't see them because we can't see the forest from the trees with our own stuff. So really well said. I love that. And stop listening externally, you should do this. And when you think about when someone says you should do this, and this in my head, I think, oh, I would never do that. I just smile and I go, oh, that's a good idea. Thanks. I don't go, you're crazy. You don't know me. It's not worth the aggravation. They're trying to help me. That's where they're coming from. They don't know me. And I'm never going to do that. I'd rather have pins in my eyes, right? So the people telling you, you should, could, would, stop, really, really analyze what are your gifts. And I do believe, you know, that we need the genius of the world to help us figure that out.
Well, thank you.
Yes. So I love that clarity of that. Now, next question, what are the common mistakes that you see people make when they're doing, when they're done evading or hiding from the truth? What do you see are the common mistakes?
Well, oftentimes if I had another visual, it would be a rectangle, And it would be divided on an angle so that you have two triangles, right? Mm-hmm. And they go back and forth like a ping pong game. I kind of alluded to it earlier where, you know, you're playing, you're in this, I call it a conformity trap, or to make it even sound nicer, because I come from the fashion industry, one size fits all life, you know, mm-hmm. where you're supposed to be, Connie, well, you're a woman of a certain age, you're married, you have two kids, you should act like this. And so on the one side, you might be the nice girl, you conform, I call it, after decades, you'd be the habitual conformist, which yeah. I don't think you are. So that's a good thing. And then you might go over to the other side and become the rebel, like my 15-year-old daughter, right? She's challenging us. She wants to have her own ideas, you know? And good. So she's moved over to the rebel side. And it's kind of becomes like this ping pong back and forth, where now she's the rebel. Okay, maybe she gets married, you know, a decade or more that from now, and she starts abiding by what he wants or what she thinks her in-laws want. You know, she's playing the nice girl. And then I see women who are older, who are divorced, and now they're chasing. So it's this back and forth, and you're still stuck in this one size fits all. You're trying to, you know,
paraphobia.
Yeah, you're trying to find scissors to get yourself out of this one size fits all t-shirt that's probably yeah. the size of a Spanx, you know, way too tight, where really we have to transcend. You can use the word transcend, evolve, become enlightened. I mean, whatever, shift is another word I like. I don't want to be anybody's authority. I want them to find their own way, right? Because if I say, take everything I've done and do it, it's not going to work for you. What nope. I'd rather find is what's true for you, what's, you know, relevant for you, what's going to empower you. How do we use your truths to help you transcend, right? And like you said earlier, what inner peace looks like for me on one day, 20 years later, is very different, and is different than what inner peace looks like for you today. And so when we're back and forth in this thing, I find that people are stressed, they're exhausted, they might become sad because they're, you know, they're going back and forth. Well, if I'm the nice girl, that doesn't work. If I'm the rebel, that doesn't work. And eventually I call her the frustrated rebel.
Yeah.
And that's usually where I come in, where she's like, I've done all the self-help, I've done the, you know, and I still don't feel worthy, or yep. I still am struggling, or something is pulling me back. And I say, that's the one size fits all. You're breaking out and it wants to keep status quo.
Comfort. Yeah.
Yes. Wants you to play small. Doesn't that's want right. you to, safe. You know, yes, safe. Exactly. Safety. I like that. I'm going to write that down because that's a word I haven't been using, but yeah, it keeps you playing safe. And she knows she's ready to not
break out.
Yeah, yep. Like you leaving a beautiful career, you know, there may have been some people judging you, like, what does she think? How is she going to, you know?
You know, what's funny, G, when, like, I tell people, like, I'm creating a membership site, and you know, yeah. my program, and I have this and I have that, and I do my corporate clients. And so when I wrote a book during COVID, and some of my friends would say to me, why are you doing that? Like, we're looking at retiring. You know, late 50s, I'm 60 now. And I was like, I go, huh? And my kids laugh. They go, have they met you? Like, are you ever going to retire? And so the big joke is, you know, when I'm training and teaching, I say to my clients, like, I'm going to be like, all right, I'm really done. I have one foot in the coffin. And then someone's going to go, Con, can you help me? I'll be like, okay, coffin, I'll be back. I got to come over here. I got to pause death. I'm moving on, right? I'm never going to retire. So when people say to me, well, why are you doing that? My response became, why not? And here's what I've learned, again, you know, 20 years of doing my own inner work. That's their reflection of, I'm looking to retire. Why is she looking to grow? And that's not a put down, right? If they're looking to retire, go for it, man. You've worked your time. You've put your dues in. If that's your jam, go for it. that's just not my jam. I love creating. I love learning. I love working with people like you. I love doing my podcast. This fills my soul. This is what gives me inner peace, even though my energy is high, but it's inner peace for me because I love it. I love my life. I love everything I get to do every day. I've created it, right? So that's what you're talking about, where that reflection of others comes to us. That doesn't mean you have to accept it. So you have to stand in your own truth. Not easy, guys. And we're not, Gina's not, and I are not saying this is super easy.
No. And can I add to that?
Yes, please.
So I would say, like, usually when I'm talking with somebody, if I'm creating content or even in conversation, your friends are looking at you going, Connie has it all. What the hell? Who is she to want more? Like, you should be retiring. Why do you need? And for me, it's like, yes, we have it all. You know, you have the successful, you wrote a book. You've done more than probably most people in a lifetime at your age, right? And you have this longevity, but people like you and I, we know there's more to us. We know there's more waiting for us. Absolutely. We know we have more to share.
Absolutely.
And I think I can say you would probably agree with this. If not, that's okay. You can use your own words, but we feel this calling to be out there putting out
information.
That's not the right word, but information that guides and helps, assists, that's the word, not proper, but assists others to have it all plus some, you know. And for me, I call it the more, you know, in caps, because we go to bed at night and we're yearning for something else. And that was probably your book. Like, I can do this, you know? And that's what I'm talking about when you're using that internal, I call it divine essence, divine intelligence, whatever you want to, your soul, whatever you want. When we listen to that, that's how come you're, in my opinion, you're glowing, Connie. You always glow.
Oh.
You know, there's a twinkle in your eyes. Your skin's healthy, you know, and unfortunately, sometimes other people who are not glowing get jealous
And you know, that's why, right, Jake, you have them too. I have my stones that I share.
Yes. I hold it up a stone.
If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, go to YouTube. But I have stones to repel the ionization of the computer of negative energy, right? Because people do deflect on us.
Yes.
And everybody, we all get that.
And I didn't mean to bring, I oftentimes don't like to speak about anything that's negative or low energy, but for whatever reason that came through today.
That's okay.
So maybe somebody is facing that today. And if you are, just know that's, like you said, the external authority. And when I have something, when somebody is telling me you should, in my head, I think smile and wave, like the movie Madagascar, smile and wave, you know, like I just found myself in a situation recently. I wrote a post, a pickle in a party, where somebody was telling me that a big decision I had just made for who my surgeon is for my hip replacement.
Yeah.
She was telling me that I made the wrong decision and that I needed to do this and meet with this person and that, and how, you know, I'm not going to have a success for my hip replacement. And, you know, I just arrived to this party. She's a complete stranger, didn't ask me anything about myself or how
horrifying.
I made my decision. But you know, I saw, luckily I took a deep yoga breath, but I saw it was her ego that was coming at me. My ego was jumping at my Italian, German, New York feisty side was coming out of me. And then I finally like reined it back in and came from my truths. And I just thought, smile and wave, you know, nod your head, politely sip on your glass of water and move on, you know?
That's right.
And I told my husband when I got in the car and he's like, yeah, I wasn't sure how that was going to go. I could see you're like all of a sudden he's like, I could see this. And then all of a sudden, you know, peace came over. And
I love it. He knows you well. The funny thing is your husband's a doctor. Like he, and she didn't know that. See, so we give advice without having, we do that in sales too, G. People give advice and I think, oh my God, why are you saying that? That's not what the person needs at all, because we don't listen, right? That's another whole conversation. We're out of time.
Yes.
We have to do another show. because there's just so much more to talk about, because this is such, this is an important topic. I love talking about this topic, even though I don't teach it or it's just not part of my, zone of genius, but I feel it. I believe it. And I love to spotlight people like you, because we need people like you to teach us how to just peel back our onion authentically, be honest with ourselves, right? Because, and I always say this too, like we're only human after all, meaning we have all these imperfections. That those imperfections are what make us so darn beautiful, because nobody has the same imperfections or strengths as me, and nobody has the same as you, right? Our fingerprints are individual, all those things. Yet we forget that we're this very unique, beautiful being, because we get caught up in the shoulda, woulda, couldas, and right, what people are telling us externally, like you made a mistake with your husband's a doctor, so I think he would not put you in harm's way. But she didn't even know that. So really be careful with, you know, advice people we give. We really, right, be mindful. Who am I talking to? What questions do I need to ask? Listen, everyone, I think you need Gina in your life. So go to her website. It's exquisitelyaligned.com. I will put it in the show notes. Email her directly, Gina@exquisitelyaligned.com. And we have some free gifts for you. So I will put, I'm not going to go through the URLs. It's just hard to do that. I'll put them in the show notes. Check out some of the free resources that Gina is sharing with you. Again, to help you move your needle, whatever that means to you, find that inner peace, happiness, again, whatever or however you define that. I really hope that Gina can help you. Thank you, my friend, for being on. I just love spending time with you. The energy, I feel so good, you know?
Likewise. And Connie, I have to say that might not be your zone of genius, which is just fine, because I need you for the other of your zone of genius, but you're living it. Yeah. And by living it, I say thank you from the bottom of my heart, because you, we touch 10,000 lives or so in our lifetime. And by you living it and breathing it and being who you are, that's, it thank doesn't you. Have to be your zone of genius. No, thank you. And thank you for having me today. It's been delightful.
Loved our conversation. And I'm serious, again, never to put anybody on the spot, but I would love to do another show, because I want to talk about why we sabotage ourselves, right? And what are some tips and tricks that we can go even deeper, right? So today hopefully gave you some information to utilize, right, to move forward, and the free gifts and all of those things to help you on your journey. And I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together, that no matter where you are in your life of change, whatever that means to you, that I hope my guests like Gina and I, that our stories are shares, right? That I didn't feel I was worthy of love until I was 50. It's kind of sad, right? But that's a truth. And I really try to share my own truths, because I think people learn from that as well as from my guests. So what did you hear today that you could take that information, apply it, do something? One little thing is all we're asking. And then report back. Like, what was the reaction to that? What was the taking that action? What was the result? And with action always comes results. And if it's not the result you want, what's the next step you take? Find the result you're looking for. There's more than one way on this journey, right? And that's Gina, I think, shared that beautifully with us today. Thank you again, Gina. Thank you all for joining me. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all an inspired week. Please, please take a piece of information or the free gift from Gina today. Try it out. See what happens. Report back. I hope it creates some magic in your life. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for joining us.